Okay. All right. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We are at my final sort of message to you. I hope that this will be something that really sinks home. It's an important message. I hope it will be a blessing and will edify you too. I've got here Lashon Hara. If anybody doesn't know what that is the Hebrew phrase for the evil tongue. This is used in many key points throughout the Tanakh, the Torah, in reference to a certain type of behavior, which our Elohim hates. And so we're going to look at this. On the other hand, I've got the subtitle here, The Evil Tongue, or Strengthen One Another. So we're going to talk about what that looks like. And just have a look at these two things together. So, what is the evil tongue? I've got here Lashon Hara, and we've got the importance of encouraging and strengthening one another. Hasak. And the warning from the king in all of this. And then just some of my parting words to you. I've got here controlling the narrative. Now, it's just timely to do this because this is something that we're kind of seeing play out in the New Zealand media right now with, you know, this whole incident that we had with this monster opening up fire in the mosque and the extreme ideologies that this individual carries and did. However, that's thrown a whole reaction into the New Zealand arena, hasn't it? Yeah. And so now we end up with this sort of position as to how are we to deal with this as a community, because you can have this kind of stuff happen within a community level, not just on a national level. And I wanted to raise to you a quote here by John F. Kennedy almost 60 years ago. And he's got here, those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. In other words, if you shut down true dialogue, peaceful dialogue, respectful dialogue on any matter, the only thing that's inevitable, according to JFK in his words, will be long-term. The consequence of this will be violence. So if we shut down the discussion as it relates to the foundations of our faith, what will we end up doing violence to? We'll actually end up doing violence to the covenant. So we need to actually understand that what you're facing right now at a New Zealand level is that, unfortunately, you have a narrative happening in the media that is shutting down the ability for people to have peaceful dialogue. I'm actually going to end up quoting myself here because somebody sent this through and reminded me in one of my teachings, Class of Civilizations. But I got here, if you destroy critical thought and peaceful dialogue in society, then ignorance will become opium for the masses. You know, again, it's one of these things, and not that I'm, not that my words would be as insightful, as important as JFK's words, but he's essentially saying something, and then I'm adding in that eventually this will feed the opium for the masses. Do you know you're experiencing that in New Zealand right now? Because the dialogue is not being allowed to happen, basically, ignorance is now the decision process that's going on. In other words, New Zealand's not being allowed to critically think or have a peaceful dialogue on the issues that you're facing. Well, it's the same thing within a community environment. This has to be done in respect and in love and be able to have the dialogue. If you don't, then ignorance will become opium for the masses. Guess what Nicolaitism's done in religion? That's exactly what's happened. So as you're seeing this shadow picture happen in your national politics right now, unfortunately, because we're not allowed to have the real conversation that should be taking place in New Zealand, basically people are losing their what? Yeah, their freedom, their rights. And so it's a form of control that is going on. And unfortunately, that will never end in a good place. And in fact, the warnings from JFK is ultimately it will end in violence if you keep going down this route. And unfortunately, what we're seeing play out in the media right now in New Zealand is ultimately going to make New Zealand a more violent nation. And it saddens me because I'm, you know, about to leave this little, beautiful little country that I love and seeing how they're playing this out and people not being allowed to critically think and have the discussions that are desperately needed right now. And so we continue. And unfortunately, this madman that walked into this mosque and killed all these innocent people, unfortunately, this madman actually knew exactly that this would be the case. And so it's just sad watching it all unfold. And I hope that New Zealand can get back to having peaceful dialogue and be able to discuss the issues that need to be discussed right now. I pray that that will be the direction New Zealand takes. But we'll see. But as a community, within ourselves, let it be the direction that we take. So regardless of this, you know, shadow picture happening in the political and, you know, in the sphere of Rome that doesn't operate with godly wisdom, we're supposed to. Amen? We're supposed to operate on this. The Hebrew term, Lashon Hara, the evil tongue, is the halakhic term for derogatory speech about another person, whether it be true or false. Now, in this past year, we saw this happen even within this fellowship to a certain degree. This kind of stuff can destroy communities. And we can easily entertain this stuff without even knowing we're doing it. Do you know that most people participate in Lashon Hara without even knowing they're doing it? They're not consciously going about this. But you all of a sudden get sucked in to a certain type of narrative. Just because something is true does not mean that it's not derogative speech. Because it comes from the heart and the intent of why somebody is doing something. So how are we to view this whole thing called Lashon Hara, which is warned about very seriously in Scripture? We're going to have a look at that. And that's contained in your Strong's in H3, 956, and 7451. The dangers of Lashon Hara. It affects us all. No one is immune if it starts to be entertained. It is a virus. Do you know that there's whole industries in Rome built on gossip? Does everybody know that? Built on, you know, whatever might be or could be or is going to be or whatever this is. Now, Rome lives in this space because they live in evil. I.e., they're godless. They're without Elohim in his ways. So we should, it's no surprise that we see this. This is all you're seeing in your media and your news and your entertainment, everything else. Gossip. But we as a body or as a witness, do you think we're supposed to entertain this stuff? No. We're actually supposed and we're held to a different standard and account. And it saddens me because I see the body so often point the finger at Rome and its bad behavior, and we can't even see our own. And a lot of us, even in this fellowship over this past year, have engaged in this. So don't be thinking we got a self-righteous finger to point at the person sitting beside us. We've all been guilty of this. You're going to see why this is a parting message for me. This is generally engaged from roots of bitterness. Okay? Whatever that bitterness might be, because an offense has been caused or something's not been dealt with, whatever it is. Simply, hurt people hurt people. If we don't get through this, we will hurt others. We have to find a way to do the peaceful dialogue to engage that we may start to heal from this, because this is what starts to happen. And if it happens in a community and we don't deal with offense that the way we're supposed to, then eventually this stuff can hurt us. And that's not a place of a good witness to a world that actually operates in this space. Especially when we have so much of, you know, when I talk about emotionally arrested development, because let's face it, a lot of families and kids and even the own environment that many of us were raised in, we don't often get off to a good start anymore in society. We got a lot coming against us, don't we? Broken homes, broken families, education systems, political politics, a world run by Rome that is hell-bent on destroying itself. I mean, we're just watching political narratives play out in the Western world right now, and they are literally, they want to kill themselves. But they don't know it. And with the best of intent, they are making evil decisions. And it says this, that in the days, just as in the days of Noah, their thoughts are continually evil. That doesn't mean they're demons and they're walking around and they're trying to storm, the Father. It means that their thoughts are without the wisdom and love of Elohim. You're witnessing a society that is engaged in this. And now the outcome and the fruit of this is simply playing out on your news, in your decisions, in the education systems, in the politics, the reaction to a horrible event that happened down in Christchurch. Because there's no capacity now to bring godly wisdom or proper dialogue and critical thought into these matters. And so we stand now and watch Rome burn. This is what we are going to experience. The question is what kind of a witness will we be while they destroy themselves? How about the children in our own community? What witness will we give them and hope will we give them as Rome continues to burn? Nothing's going to change that. But what can change is our witness and what we give to our kids and what we give to our spouses and what we give to our family members as a community. Amen? That is in our hands. And guess what? The government doesn't get to control that. But we need to be willing to walk in a place where we're in a place of repentance, and we can't keep using Rome as the excuse, and we can't keep using our brethren, beside us as an excuse for our own behavior. Most often, Lashon Hara is done in the shadows. This is often to avoid short-term accountability. Who likes to avoid short-term accountability when you're doing things? Come on, be honest. You do. Why? Why do we like to avoid short-term accountability? Because we want our own way. This impacts us. And the less emotionally developed we are, the more we are going to do that. Or the more bitter we are, or the more unforgiveness, or whatever else is going on in our lives, the more we are going to engage in something where hurt people will hurt people. It can be deceptive. Most of the time, we are not aware. We are engaging or instigating it, as we've already said. Emotional in nature. I think it, therefore it is true. Has anybody ever had an emotional reaction and it's truth? Yeah. Do you know, you ever watch little children, right? They have an emotional reaction to something. Are they ever in the wrong in that moment? Do you know, spiritually, we can do the same thing. You see, remember, Lashon Hara is not based on whether it's true or false. It's actually based on what we are doing with it. Predatory behavior, by default, as it most often affects the spiritually young. And scatters them all over the place. This is a big one, okay, because our king had very serious warnings against this one. And we'll get into that. Most often we'll come with a hidden agenda. Why? Because the heart is desperately wicked. Is it possible that you can't even know your own agenda as you do things? Has anybody ever gone down a track and then you're months down that track and you're starting to realize, maybe I wasn't as right as I thought I was. Has anybody ever had that moment? Doesn't matter what it is. We've all had it. Unfortunately, when you're trying to step up and serve in a wider community, you get to do it publicly. That's even more fun. We all have been there. The question is this going to be something that we continue to justify or not? We're going to look at something. Destroys trust and unity among the fellowship. Ultimately, if this is allowed to continue, you won't know who to trust anymore. and there won't be unity. I don't know who I can talk to. I don't know who I can meet with anymore. I don't know who's saying whatever, da-di-da-di-da. Does anybody see a lot of trust going on out there in Rome right now? It's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Yet we're supposed to be a witness and a light to that very thing that we've all acknowledged. We're not seeing a lot of trust going on out there. And yet, if we can't see the opposite of these things in a community, are we a light? Ultimately, this will destroy our ability to seek truth on matters and grow to the fullness of Messiah. Just so you know, the more you divide something, the less likely you are to cohesively arrive in any location. Now, you can do this two ways. We can do this being unified in the Father and his ways, or we can numb ourselves to the ignorance of masses and head for Nicolaitism. Because true unity is an outcome. It's not a pursuit. But there are religious environments all over the world that have manufactured unity. But we're supposed to arrive there because we care about a Father and his ways, and what he loves, we are to love, and what he hates, we are to hate. So how do we go? Ultimately, this is about our character, not our doctrine. Has anybody ever been wrong on your doctrine before? Yeah. Does anybody think you're going to be wrong again? Does anybody know that your doctrine can be right, but you still haven't learned all there is about it? Is it possible you can be right on doctrine and go about it the wrong way? You see, if this is just about truth, if it's just about being right, if it's just about doctrine, then who's right and who's wrong? If I win an argument, does that mean I'm the one to be trusted? I can win arguments. What about my character? What about your character? What about our character as a body? What do we do as a body? We have some interesting times ahead. Mark 40 to 42 here. I got 9:40 to 42. For one who is not against us is for us. Who's speaking? Yeshua. Wait a minute. Somebody realizes that the front of the book actually still matters, and the blood of Messiah is what keeps us going while we figure this all out. Do you know these are the town, this is the essence of our faith. Oh, but my emotional reaction means that now I can engage in Lashon Hara, right? We're going to look deeper at this. For one who is not against us is for us. Why would Yeshua, and by the way, that's a very accurate English rendering in the Greek. Why would he say that? Because somebody who's looking at you as a witness, you know, they may not even be a believer yet. Maybe they don't even understand that the foundations of their faith have not been thrown out. What are you going to do with that person when they even question that you care about the covenant still? What are you going to do with our Jewish brethren that are questioning whether the blood of Messiah is doing what it's supposed to do? But what if they're willing to engage? Let's read it again. For the one who is not against us is for us. Can someone not against you be sent to this community and be okay? Are they in good hands here? Or do they have to know everything according to you? Are they safe to be brought here? This is what you will face walking forward as a community. I believe they are. I believe some lessons learned this year have been exceptional. And I believe a declaration amongst the eldership this year was unto maturity. Father's ways are not our ways. Nonetheless, we grow, we learn. I'll tell you something. I think that the Father's going to continue to add unto this community because of the lessons that have been learned this year and things that have been overcome. And I think it's a beautiful thing. And I think the people that are stepping up and being willing to serve, who have served, who will continue to, it's going to be a beautiful thing. I think it's time for me to go. So this place can grow. Sounds strange, doesn't it? For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Messiah will by no means lose his reward. Isn't that interesting? Who's giving the cup of water to whom here? The one who is not against you. Oh, and do they recognize that you belong to Messiah? Do they understand and agree with all your doctrine yet? Interesting. You don't have any idea who, what kind of a witness you're going to be and who may truly be there to help you in the years to come. I remember in the stories out of the Holocaust and how some of the Germans helped people that were headed for slaughter. Completely different religion and belief systems and structures. Be very, very careful who the Father is sending to you as a community and what you think is actually the thing to focus on. Whoever causes one of these little ones, who are the little ones? Those who are not against us, but are. Isn't that interesting? See how that's being defined? Do they know much about the faith at this point? No. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe to stumble. The word stumble there is scandalos. Let me read it again. Whoever causes one of these little ones to be scandalous, to engage in a certain type of behavior, it would be better for him with a heavy millstone hung around his neck. He had been cast into the sea, back into the peoples, back into Rome. In other words, you're not welcome here. There you go. Who likes how it's looking in Rome these days? Among the body. Leviticus 19:16. Look at this. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am Yah. I guess that's complicated. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that actually engaging in something will actually lead to the breaking of the eighth of the matters of the covenant? And ultimately will affect and pervert the whole thing. Again, remember, this is not about our character. This is about our character and behavior, not our doctrine. What is being dressed here is slander. Psalm 34:11-14. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yah. Notice what has to be taught here. What is the beginning of wisdom? The fear of Elohim. Isn't this interesting? I'm going to teach you something, the fear of Yah. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Who would not put their hand up for that one? Right? All the men? Right? All the women? Hands up? So what? Well, no one's going to say no to that. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek shalom and pursue it. Do you know that this is reference to something that is an onus and a conscious choice on your part? Isn't this interesting? This is actually something that you will make a conscious choice to do or not. In Proverbs 6:12-19. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, come this way, points with his finger, with perverted heart, devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. Who wants to continue to sow discord in here? There's your promise. There are six things that Yah hates. Seven, or the seventh, that are an abomination to him. So we've just gone from hate to abomination. Haughty eyes. Haughty, being proud or thinking you're something you're not or above others. Look at this. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Notice which one's the seventh? Which one's the abomination? The one who sows discord among the brothers. You better make very sure you're not among the brothers when you're sowing discord. An abomination. It doesn't say, don't one who sows discord among the brothers, as long as he's absolutely confirmed according to their own view that they're not of the brethren and they don't agree with my doctrine at all matters at all times because I am the holder of all truth. You comfortable sitting in this seat doing this? None of us should be. It's an abomination to him. Do you know, out of these seven things, three of them are devoted to this little organ. Three of these things. One of them is an abomination. The other two, he hates. I'd say that's a pretty serious weighting. Out of actually listing things that he hates, that three of them are directly the result of our big fat mouths. I don't know about you, but that's sobering. It's very sobering. In fact, James speaks, we're not going to get into it because I could make this into a 10-part series, to be honest. But James gets seriously into this, especially coming from a leader of the council in Jerusalem at the time. And he actually says, you know, the teachers are going to get judged. We're going to get judged more harsh. But you know what he goes on to say? But we're not perfect. So stop having to go at us. We've got a hard enough judgment as it is. Isn't that interesting? By the way, we're on 30,000 plus denominations. I'm watching the Hebrew Roots Messianic side cannibalize themselves in front of my eyes right now. Would you say that Lashon Hara might be having anything to do with this? Okay, made the point there. Here's what I want to leave you with. I want to encourage you with this. And I mean encourage you with this, because this is powerful. We often think of things like encouragement, don't we? Like, you know, you go and encourage someone as if it's a pep talk before a sports game or something, or, you know, you're trying to encourage, the children to do well in something, everything else. There's nothing wrong with that. It is a form of encouragement. But there's some interesting things that we're going to see here where we might have watered this down a little bit. Has anybody ever noticed sometimes that the English can water down maybe the true meaning of what the biblical narrative was actually trying to get at? Happens with all types of subjects. Hasak. The Hebrew term hasak, to strengthen, prevail, harden, be strong, become strong, be courageous, be firm, grow firm, be resolute. To be strong, grow strong, to prevail, prevail upon, to be firm, be secure. I've got here the strengthening tongue. This is used approximately 300 times in Scripture. Does anybody think that somebody like the Apostle Paul and the disciples might have been familiar with their word? This is being mentioned almost 300 times, directly or in context. Do you find that fascinating? Because do you really think of that when you think of just encouragement? Use the word encouragement. Do you really think of prevail, be strong, become strong, courage, courageous, grow firm? Do you really think of all those things? Or is it just, I'm just going to encourage somebody, give them a pat on the back, and away they go. Again, nothing wrong with that. But it's important that when we read the scripture we're about to read, that we understand the context that they meant. Amen? Deuteronomy 3:28. Who's speaking here? But charge Joshua. And who's speaking to who here? What's the context here? Does anybody know? Moses is, by the way, in this conversation. And somebody's speaking to him. Who's that? Yeah. Yeah. But charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him. Who's being told by Elohim to do the encouraging and strengthening? Yeah, so the onus is on who? Moshe. Isn't that interesting? What you mean, this isn't a magical wave the, you know, Holy Spirit wand? This is going to take actually something within our character to now go and do? Think about this. If it's not in your character to do that because you're living in unforgiveness, bitterness, or, you know, whatever, emotional pity parties, are you going to have the ability to even do this? Now, I can tell you something. Did Moses go through any frustration? If there was anybody who had an excuse to go, you know what? I don't have any encouraging or strengthening left in me. These people have worn me out. I don't think any of us are close to knowing the exhaustion of a Moses. His patience, his tolerant levels, everything. And yet, Elohim says to Moshe, you go and encourage and strengthen Joshua. For he shall go at the head of this people. Do you mean there's a need for a head? By the way, Yah is directly involved right now with the head at the time of a people. And he shall put them in possession of the land that you shall see. So he's about to show him what? A vast land. Who was in the land at that time? Canaanites. So was there going to be a need to be encouraged and strengthened because perhaps there was an enemy that was going to stand in the way? Yeah. Just get the context of this. Now let's get to Joshua. Who's speaking? Anybody know I'm reading from Joshua 1, 6 to 9? Anybody got a clue who's speaking to him? Yeah. Okay, so now here we go. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Now you know for sure that's Yah. Only the strong and very courageous. Oh, sorry, only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Do we want Lashon Hara or Hasak in this mouth? Just keep going here. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Not you might, you will. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for Yah your Elohim is with you wherever you go. Do you know that Elohim, the creator, is engaging in what here? Hasak. Direct to Joshua, who's got to take a people, face an enemy, and go into a promised land. So is it Lashon Hara that's taking them into this promised land, or is it Hasak? Do you see my point? One is going to tear down, and one is going to strengthen. Either way, you got an enemy to face and a place to go. So you better get on with what and how our Elohim himself gives an example of how this is done. And there's an onus on our part. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 to 11. Paul writes something very interesting here. For Elohim has not destined us for wrath. By the way, for those pre-tribbers, that doesn't say he's not destined us for great tribulation. Sorry, I can't help myself. But to obtain salvation through Yeshua Messiah, who died for us so that wherever we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Ooh, that could be reference to Yom Teruah itself. Therefore, look at this. Encourage one another and strengthen one another, just as you are doing. Now remember, we exist today because Asak was either being employed or Lashon Hara. We're having a meeting right now, thousands of years later, because of which one was he saying they were doing? This is interesting, isn't it? You mean Lashon Hara didn't get us here? Oh, it tries to get in and infect and divide and destroy and do all of these amazing things that it does. We get sucked into it. We get deceived by it. We engage in it. We don't even know. When we do know, we're probably going to get smacked for it. This is fascinating. Therefore, encourage one another and strengthen one another, just as you are doing. I believe that if what they had engaged in was Lashon Hara in the early Kahal, we wouldn't even be meeting today. Did they have everything figured out? Did they have all the revelation of Scripture that you could possibly have? Did they have any disagreements in their doctrines? Wait a minute. So they don't have all the revelation there is. They don't all agree on the same doctrine. Yet they do understand that the front of the book hasn't been thrown away and that the blood of Messiah is in play. The tenets and the essence of our faith. And it got us here. Do you know what? History tells us that this stood the test of time. It's fact. We're here. No wonder Lashon Hara is an abomination to our Elohim, because it could never have gotten us here. But Hasak, he engages in himself and indeed gave to Joshua. The evil tongue, or to strengthen one another. You know, I'm going to wrap this up here shortly. And what I want to say is this. You have a choice now as a community. We've all been guilty in both directions of both of the things we've mentioned today, either Lashon Hara or Hasak. I know we all like to think that all we do is engage in Hasak and whatnot. By the way, Hasak's not a wishy-washy word, isn't it? It's to strengthen, to prevail, to make firm. You mean that could still involve correction and reproof? Of course. But what is driving it, and what is the motive? See, this is not weak. It's not weak at all. You know, Moshe wanted to go into the promised land, didn't he? He only got to see it. And then he's being told, by the way, go on Hasak. Poor Joshua there, he's going to need it. You know, what I want to give to you guys is this, and ladies, and as a community. Moving forward now as a community, the choice is really ours. What you're going to do now? What are you going to do? What are you going to choose when you hear the words, or you see somebody entertaining something that they shouldn't, or even saying something that they shouldn't, knowingly or unknowingly? What are you going to do with this as a community? Are you going to engage in the evil tongue, participate? Or are you going to engage in strengthening one another? Because you know something? Our battle's not against flesh and blood. You need each other. And the Father wants to send others to you where it can be a witness and where love will cover a multitude of missing the mark. Because as I've told you, I've never met anyone who's Torah observant. Not one person on the face of the earth. I know of one. I read about him. And we might be torrent pursuant or consider and not throw this away as a part of our faith. But I don't know one. Yeshua made an example and made it very clear that this is actually at the heart level. So Pharisee, Sadducee, religious person, whatever it is, you fail. Disciple, you fail. By the way, all of you, you fail. You know, there is one thing that is certain to get rid of the righteousness of Elohim in this community. And that will be your self-righteousness. There is no place for both. None. Make the choice for a sock to strengthen one another. Not wishy-washy political correctness, as we're seeing Rome do. But make it real. Build each other up. This was the context. To strengthen one another. To make firm that days ahead are going to be rough. Do you think that the people that are in this room right now are what you have to worry about? You're sitting beside your brothers and sisters. Strengthen each other. Do this. You're running out of time. Whether it's your natural life or whether we jump into the time of Jacob's trouble a lot sooner than we all think. Either way, we're all running out of time in here. Now is your time to do and make these decisions. And I think this last year has been a great test. And I think many of you have chosen Hasak. And I'll tell you something, it shows. And Elohim will bless this community as a result. And as a result of walking together, you will discover the truth. Because the Ruach will lead us unto all truth. Not Donkey Curtis, not teacher such and such, not whatever it is that you might be engaging. Who's going to lead us unto all truth? If you can figure it out his way, you will get there. But if you engage in Lashon Hara instead along the way, do not think that you're above what the actual adversary has been designed to do. Strengthen each other now, okay? Strengthen each other. Do it. Stop playing the games and do it. It's okay. You'll get over yourself. You'll have your little moment. We all have our moments. But we've got to learn to do this. And believe me, just because you didn't win an argument didn't mean you didn't compromise truth as best as you understood it. Just because you didn't engage in an argument doesn't mean that you gave up the search for truth. Don't continue to keep losing the battlegrounds of your mind. You'll hurt people if you do. Let this be a community that the Father can send people to as a good witness as Rome burns in front of our eyes. Let's not be concerned in telling Rome how to behave anymore. Why don't we look in the mirror, repent ourselves, and enter into Yeshua, and do what Elohim did for Joshua? Hasak. So that we can get into this promised land. Amen? You know, as we finish up here, and it's the last time that I get the honor of being able to share a message here at the fellowship. Something that's very sincere in Pip and I's heart is just, seriously, is a great big thank you. We love you guys. And it's not easy. We're leaving something that grew and taught us a lot. You know, people that we've learned to come to love and to know. And it's not easy. We're leaving our home. We don't know what's in front of us. But some of you have made similar journeys in your lives. And you know this isn't easy. We don't know what's ahead for us. But we do know this. We are better for having been a part of this community. And you've helped me grow. And I will always be grateful for that. Thank you for putting up with Pip. No, I just kidding. Oh, and me too. Me as well. Oh, so I'm going to get it for that, I'm sure. I swore I wouldn't shed a tear. I had to do something. Look, I thank you for just who you've been over the years and the journey that we've been on. And I know that the Ruach is working here with you. I sense and understand, and I have seen it I've seen it tested. I've seen it blessed. I've seen us grow. I've seen us learn. We're all trying to figure it out. I know he's with you. And there's a community. And there's people in this city right now and in this nation that don't even know that they're counting on you to enter into a sach, to strengthen one another. So the last request I have of any of you is you're going to make that choice from here on in. Just one thing, okay? Just make that choice and watch what he will do with you. I'm going to finish there. Thank you.